This is Beyond Category, and I'm Eric Felton. We're here in the 8th Street corridor in Washington, D.C., at the Atlas Performing Arts Center. Tonight, a creative young trombone player, Ryan Keberle, is going to be playing with his band, Catharsis. But we get to check him out right now. Ryan Keberle, describe to me what you're going for with this sound. It doesn't have a piano player. What does that do in a band when you don't have a piano player, you don't have a guitar player, you don't have the chordal instrument to fill everything up?
Yeah, well, this is a pianoless quartet, which has been done before. My model, historically speaking, was Jerry Mulligan's pianoless quartets with Chet Baker on trumpet, yeah, or Bob Brookmeyer later on trombone. And, you know, I actually play that for my jazz history students each year, and without fail, they always, and these are non-musicians, so it's interesting to see how they react and the way they describe jazz. And without fail, that recording always connects with them because it has such a different atmosphere, such a different sound to it than everything else we've listened to that has piano and or guitar. So for me, I think it really opens things up. It simplifies it in a sonic sense, but of course, musically speaking, it doesn't have to be simple at all. It could be incredibly complex. It can be anything you want. But by removing that chordal instrument, it really just opens up the sonic landscape.
Although thinking of those, you know, collaborations between Jerry Mulligan and, yeah, and Chet Baker, Bob Brookmeyer, that's so essentially West Coast.
I grew up on the West Coast. I'm from Spokane, Washington, and certainly a part of that is still existing inside of me. But I've spent my whole adult life in New York City and for the last 10 years in Brooklyn. And certainly where I became a professional musician and where I developed my sense of what music means to me and is meant to sound like comes from New York.
Before you ended up pursuing music in New York, you started your college career as a physics major.
Yeah.
So how do you go from being a physics major to playing trombone?
Yeah, well, music has always been a part of my life. Both my parents are musicians, music educators. My grandparents are music educators and musicians. So I always knew music was going to be a part of my life. And I started on violin. I still play piano, hence the melodica that I've just recently brought into the mix. But trombone was an instrument my dad started me on. My dad is a jazz educator and trumpet player. And he's always short trombonists in his college jazz band, so he kind of recruited me. I was playing with his band when I was in junior high, you know, got an early opportunity. So I knew that was always a part of my life, but I at the time loved math. I still love math. I mean, I love the logical side of things.
That is something, though, that there are a lot of jazz musicians
Absolutely.
Who are math geeks as
Absolutely.
Well, who, you know, I know a number of players who they supplement their jazz income with being, you know, computer consultants.
Yeah.
The mind thinks similarly, I think.
Yeah, there's absolutely a connection there. And I realized, though, a year into undergrad that there was no way I was going to be a professional musician, especially professional jazz musician, and just the dedication and time it takes to do that, and a physics major or a math major. So
and all the time and dedication
yeah,
it takes to do that.
Exactly. I mean, I was spending 20, 30 hours a week in the computer lab just to write a program that would bounce a ball around the screen, you know. And so thinking ahead, I thought to myself, I'm going to have to make a decision here. So went with the trombone, went with music, and moved to New York, and I've been there ever since.
So how does the trombone put you in a particular position in the jazz scene in New York these days? I imagine there are opportunities because there are bands that need trombones, but then there's also there aren't a lot of gigs where the first thing that people say is, and be sure to get me a trombone player. So
yeah,
you've really got to like get out there and hustle things if you're a trombone player.
You do. Unfortunately, the trombone in recent years hasn't experienced the success that, say, saxophone or piano has in the jazz world. We fight an uphill battle, and I kind of see it as a personal challenge to try and prove that the trombone is as essential an instrument in a jazz setting, especially small group jazz setting, as any other instrument. And that doesn't mean we have to play as fast or as high or as complicated as these other instruments. It just means that we have to bring the same kind of musical excellence.
One of the things that maybe comes out of not being able to play a billion notes at the flick of the fingers
yeah.
is that you have to think a little bit more about melody
Absolutely.
When you're a trombonist, and that seems to be a very important part of the music that you're doing.
Absolutely. The melody is what makes a good song, you know, that's what defines it. That's what you copyright, right? That's the DNA code of a good song. So melody is really important to me, and as you mentioned, it certainly that is I'm not unique in that regard. Slide Hampton, J.J. Johnson, Curtis Fuller, these were all masterful melodicists.
All great trombone
and
players.
And all great trombone players, yeah,
right.
yeah.
Well, there's a tune that is the title tune of your new record. Could you guys do that for us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
Ryan Keberle.
Ryan Keverly. So you got to break out the melodica for that. Not an often used instrument.
No, I hope it didn't scare any listeners away. It's definitely not something you associate with jazz.
Well, it's kind of cheating, which is you have the no keyboard group, and then you sneak the little keyboard in.
I know. I've struggled with that. You know, I mean, there's something to be said about a concept and sticking with it. But I was introduced to the melodica when I was on tour with an indie rock singer-songwriter named Sufjan Stevens and started playing it on that tour. And really just took a liking to it, started thinking about ways I might be able to use it in my own music, and that was the result.
Well, that's interesting. Something you learned in a alt-rock kind of context. You've played with Justin Timberlake, with Alicia Keys, and most recently, you're on a new disc from David Bowie.
Yeah, it's still kind of surreal to me. The David Bowie, you know, is one of my heroes.
What are you able to learn, other than using the melodica, from different contexts that you bring back into your jazz playing?
Yeah, I mean, so many things. To me, music is so much more than just jazz. I try to keep an open mind and an open ear because I feel like there is so much to learn. For example, while I was on the road with Sufjan, I mean, one of the things I learned from him was how to take a step back and think about the big picture, whether it be a whole album, whether it be a whole song, or even a whole performance. You know, and he is a master at being able to envision or kind of even just feel. I think it's this innate feeling he gets as to what a whole performance, what the whole flow of a performance will feel like and how that will impact the listener. And of course, I don't claim to be able to do what he does yet, but it's something I think about and something I didn't think about prior to that. And I'm not sure how many jazz musicians do think about those things. Jazz is such a detail-oriented music. We're kind of zoomed way in, and someone like Sufjan is the opposite. He's zoomed way out.
How do you think about trying to actually do something that has an emotional effect on a listener?
Jazz is, it's just so hard. There's so many things to master. There's so many things to think about when you're on stage that, unfortunately, the emotional connection that music has on an audience is sometimes overlooked. Certainly, that's not the case across the board. But, you know, that's why people are paying to hear you play. That's why they're buying your records. Maybe not you, but just music in general. I mean, most music fans will say music moves them in some way. It has this power, this visceral sense. So for me, that's front and center for me when I'm creating music, when I'm playing music, improvising. And it's something that I practice. You know, I think what you have to
How do you practice putting across emotion?
It starts as simple as just, say, play a melody. You know, trying to think about music as opposed to technique. You know, because so much of what we practice is about technique and technical issues. But how about just make a musical statement? How about just play a melody that has a beginning and an ending and a shape? And just doing that, thinking about the music, but it's something that I've thought about in my own studio of improvisational students. And, you know, I start off with just simply asking them to make a musical statement, just to try to get them or me in my own practice sessions to think about the music as opposed to the technique. You know, create a melody. What does that mean? A beginning and an ending, a shape, dialogue, you know, rhythm and clear ideas, melodic ideas. And I think this starts to help connect us as a performer, as an improviser, to what really matters in music and certainly to a listener.
But just because it's a good melody doesn't mean it has to be a simple melody.
Absolutely not.
One of the tunes you do on your new record is a great bebop melody from Charlie Parker.
Yeah, definitely not an easy one.
No,
yeah.
It hangs together. It's coherent as a melody.
A tune
called Cheryl. And I'd love to hear you guys play that.
Yeah, let's do it.
And maybe I could even sit in a bit and we get two trombones going.
Absolutely, yeah. I will never pass up the opportunity to have two trombones on the same stage.
You never have enough trombones.
No, that doesn't happen often enough.
Ryan Keverly. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Ryan Keverly and Catharsis for joining us. I'd like to thank the Atlas Performing Arts Center for hosting us. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for watching. I'm Eric Felton, and this is Beyond Category. I hope you join us again soon for more good music.